from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go now. You fire the first shot. Let's go, man.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at the Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
HITS, they all stand for try hard. So for the coaches, it's now H is for, hey, don't do that. I is for, I wouldn't do that if I were you. T is for, that's a bad thing to do. And S is for, stop, you're fired.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Jason Leisure with Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
Jason Leisure is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. And he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hello, Jason Leisure.
Dan, Lawrence, what's up, guys? Can I say something about that intro?
Sure.
Go ahead, Lawrence. Go ahead.
No, please. This is your segment.
Okay, so there's a clip in that intro. Who made that? Was it Herb Lawrence? This goes back a couple.
I think Tony might have made that.
It might have, maybe.
It's a collaborative effort at this point.
It has been tweaked along the way, yes. There have been upgrades and updates. But there's one line in there where I'm talking about like how, you know, lucky the Score is to have me on there. And I'm just, that's just me being an idiot. Like, I grew up here. I'm being serious right now. I grew up here and heard the Score my whole life as a kid when my dad would have it on in the car or something. And it was like the coolest thing ever to be a guest on the Score the first time, you know, 6 years ago. Or whatever it was, and to write for the Chicago Sun-Times, by the way, because I grew up as a kid. My brother and I would ride our bikes to White Hen to pick up the Sun-Times. And the first time I had a cover story on there about Jonathan Toews 6 years ago, and my name was on the front of the Sun-Times, I just laughed for about a minute straight.
I think that we get it, like, because we, I mean, I know I got it because, you know, it was on my show, but I think people understand that you're the farthest thing away from someone who would say that and mean it. Like, that's the beautiful part about it. That's your whole bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so don't feel bad about that. I think the audience gets it.
Well, I just want, I'm sure you're right. I just want people to know that I think it's the coolest thing in the world that I get to be in Chicago sports media. That is a dream come, literally something I dreamed about as a kid and get to do now. And that I'm 40 and it hasn't gotten old for me. So I just wanted to say that that's from the heart, and we can talk about Hard Knocks being boring or Keenan Allen or whatever you guys want.
No, it just, I think that's kind of cool. You had me at White Hen though, because I just
miss White Hen.
I do too. If you had
great donuts.
If you had a good White Hen where someone who cared about making the sandwiches, there were a couple. There was a White Hen in Gold Coast on Ohio, right across from the Grand Ohio Building. There was one right there by St. Clair. Yeah, Ohio and St. Clair was a great White Hen, and there was another one on Lincoln, where there was a young man there who I think was had some developmental disabilities and made the most gorgeous, perfect sandwiches. Pristine. No piece of lettuce out of line. No condiments ever dripping off the edges. And it took a little longer, but I told him one time, and I said, for a sandwich that looks like it came out of a magazine ad, you can take as long as you want.
I love that we all have memories of White Hen Pantry. Like when I was in college.
Oh, it was dill Havarti and turkey pastrami on a sub roll.
Of course, that's the memory you would have. Like Lawrence is going to talk about buying Skittles or something. You're like, we're going all this, like, you know.
So good.
Well, I mean, in college, there was one right on Fullerton. So when I was at DePaul, like you go to the White Hen and they did have really good donuts, which is rare because, you know, I'm a bit of a donut snob.
7-Eleven's got good donuts.
They do. They do. And but White Hen Pantry rocks. So J.J. Pepper's is still around, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have one in Elgin. Yeah.
I remember Fred Huebner used to, that used to be his thing. Because you know how our engineer Ray, that he would come in with his big old thing of,
yeah.
what is it called?
Oh, Big Jerry?
Big Jerry. Fred would always stop at the J.J. Pepper's because I think he would get like a 44-ouncer.
That's right. That was on Cicero and Addison.
Yeah, for like 89 cents. You can't beat that. I think his order was Diet Dr. Pepper. I think that's what Fred would.
That's
do.
Like Mark Hatley, always Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, Bears.
It was a huge step of freedom. Hold on 1 second on Bears. Sure. It was a huge step of freedom as a kid to be able to ride your bike to White Hen with $4 or $5 in your pocket and get the newspaper, get Sports Illustrated, get a slush puppy, which is like a worse version of a Slurpee, but that's what White Hen had.
And a copy of Swank.
I was just going to say, a penthouse. You're like, okay. Come on now.
All right. We've definitely reached the end of the White Hen segment now.
Go get it, baby.
No, it was usually Maxim. That's what she did. No, with. Not Swank. Not
was like
Swank.
That was like the gross one, too. What was the other one? Sherry? Oh, like that was like the low budget ones. Like, they didn't even airbrush out the zits or anything.
Oh. Okay, thanks. My parents listen to this segment, by the way.
My God.
Okay. Give me two of these. Give me three. Give me another slush puppy. Throw in a copy of Orgasm while you're at it.
Oh, my gosh. Damn. Jeez.
He never knows when to stop. Never.
No.
Never.
No, because Dan has nothing to lose at this point.
That's
a
movie reference. That's a movie reference. It's from the movie Bananas.
I get that it's a movie reference.
Nobody knows what that is.
I know, but Fielding Mellish is checking out of the convenience store, and he's getting magazines, and he's like, well, I'll take a copy of a Common.
Yeah, we know. No, you don't have to do the thing.
He says, and one of these, and the cashier goes, hey, how much is a copy of Orgasm?
Right. Like, we know. Okay. That's why
you again,
you'd have
please.
To say it
yeah,
again.
Yell it again. Maybe sit a couple plays out, champ.
Try to tell them all the time. What is interesting to you about the initial 53-man Bears roster?
Everything. I am so much more interested in this team than I have been at any point in the last 6 years. Even 2019, when they were coming off a very good season, I think that everything has come together so well for them. And cut day is always about the guys that stay, not about the guys that get cut that most people hadn't even heard of a month ago or 2 months ago. I just think that they have come such a long way in a short time. And Ryan Poles has been pretty honest about this, pretty transparent about this. They've gotten lucky. They had Lovie Smith win a game in the final minute on a 2-point conversion to hand them the number one pick. Then they traded it with exactly the right team. And you probably figured Carolina would be bad, but you didn't know that they would be number one. The number one pick falls into your lap at a time when this once every couple years quarterback prospect is available. And because now that part is all very good fortune for them, but because you have been making smart moves along the way financially and in terms of talent acquisition, you are ready to take advantage of that guy coming aboard, and you are ready to bring that guy into arguably the best situation that a highly drafted quarterback has ever walked into. So you have all of that coming together with your future resources intact in terms of no bad contracts that I see on the books, and your draft assets are there for 2025. They're in abundance because you also have Carolina's 2025 second rounder. And with the quarterback coming in right now, it's just the start. You have a team that could go for the playoffs this year that should be a playoff team this year. And it really is only the beginning. This is so different than going all in to go 6-11 in 2021.
I think I've come full circle on Velus Jones in a way that I'm not. You tell me if this makes sense. Where previously I'm thinking, all right, he's a third round pick. He's Ryan Poles' first offensive pick. He's going to give him every chance, every chance, every chance. And now he keeps giving him every chance. And now I'm wondering, is he good? Is he better than I think he is? Because my trust level in Ryan Poles has done nothing but remain very high. And now I'm thinking the opposite. Like, for him to make this team this year, he must be better than what I've seen.
What? Yeah, it's only his third year. I get where you're coming from completely. It's only year three. I think that Velus Jones' talent warrants giving him some time. I don't know if he makes it all the way through year three, if some of the same issues come up. I also think they should have tried this running back idea with him a long time ago. We used to ask about this. This has been coming up since probably his second season, if not even the first season. And we would always ask about this. Hey, do you guys think about trying Velus at running back? And the answer usually from Matt Eberflus was always like, no, that, you know, kind of dismissive. Like, where are you guys even coming from with this idea? And now it's kind of a last resort to find him a role in the offense. And you've already moved on from the idea of him being a punt returner, because that's pretty dicey. I think they hold out a lot of hope, Dan, that he could be a factor in the kick returns. And there is more of an opportunity to do something in that aspect of the game than there has been any time recently because of the rule changes. And you see when Velus Jones has the ball in his hands, he's big and fast and can do stuff. He's a dangerous runner. The problem has always been getting him in position to do that. Can he master the offense and make plays where he could get the ball like that as a receiver? Can he catch punts and be a factor there? You know, will he get opportunities in the kick return game now that there's going to be fewer touchbacks? I think maybe he will.
We didn't get a chance to ask you about this because all this stuff was happening as we were getting off the air. But it seems like when it comes to depth on the defensive line, the Bears were not happy with their initial shot at this. What did you make of the additions that they added specifically over there?
Defensive line and offensive line would be the parts of this rebuild that you point to and say they're not quite there yet. And Ryan Poles was saying yesterday, this is only the second phase of this. And I don't know how many years you get to complete a rebuild to where you say, okay, this is built. And now we start working on just changing out parts and working on kind of the outskirts of the roster every year. But that's their biggest question right now, I think, is their defensive line. Their pass rush, they've got Montez Sweat and a lot of question marks. They traded for Daryl Taylor, who was a guy that wasn't going to be a starter in Seattle. And when he comes in, he looks like he probably has the most potential of any pass rusher on their roster other than Montez Sweat. So when you get down to the bottom of the roster and them switching guys out and making waiver claims, and I think they are just fishing. I think they are hoping that it's a little more, there's a little more thought that goes in and expertise that goes into it than that. But I think they are just hoping to strike gold on somebody. And Austin Booker might be one of those guys. That was not a roster change this week, but that was kind of a little bit of fishing in a late round draft pick. Hoping that Dominique Robinson can take a step that everyone's been waiting for him to take. Those kinds of things. I think they're just hoping somebody, some surprise steps up and can be a factor again, opposite Montez Sweat. So there, that creates an opportunity in itself where you are going to get one-on-one matchups if you're lining up on the other side of Montez Sweat.
If I'm reading the depth chart correctly, the only tackle listed behind the starters in Jones and Wright is Kieran Amagaje, who is coming off of an injury and who is
a project,
a rookie from an Ivy League school. Usually that third tackle at the very least is an old former starter journeyman plug-in, get you through a game guy. Is it okay to go into a season with what I think is that third tackle to me is a pretty important position to have somebody this untested there?
Well, I think their swing tackle is probably Matt Pryor.
Okay, because he's listed as a guard.
Yeah, but and it's confusing. I get why you would ask that, but they have teams always talk about this, but the Bears have actually done it this year where they have really emphasized versatility. So they have guys that could play every position but center. They have centers that could also play guard. And even in their starting lineup, Tevin Jenkins could play tackle for you in a pinch, and someone else could move up into his spot.
Okay. It doesn't feel great.
I don't think the plan is Amagaji as the swing tackle.
Okay. Because I'm just looking at how it's literally listed here.
Overall, yeah. Sorry, Lance, do you feel like if you're them, are you confident in what you have at those spots? Or is that something that we could see them continue to try and upgrade throughout the season?
O-line, D-line?
O-line.
O-line. Yeah, but what can you do, really? I mean, the time to make major additions has passed. You're really, if you're talking major long-term fixes, high-quality talent acquisition, that's going to be in those draft picks and cap space next year. I think their offensive line is okay. I mean, rookie quarterbacks have walked into way worse situations than this offensive line. This is not an amazing offensive line, but it's also not terrible.
Is Keenan Allen okay?
I think he is, but I can't promise you that. I think he's okay. I don't think there's a significant issue here with him missing practice. You know, Keenan Allen could take vet days, by the way, and he'd be all right.
I think that's what he's doing. I think this is what you get with, but it can happen fast. Like, receivers can fall off fast. I mean, look what's happened around the league. Look at Allen Robinson. He's 31, and you can see the end for him. So it can happen very quickly, but I feel like I'm just watching a guy that understands how to make it through camp.
Yeah, and also Keenan Allen has been awesome in training camp. He has been totally impressive, almost dominant, I would say. It has been as advertised with Keenan Allen as far as what I've seen on the practice field. I don't think that him having some foot discomfort, as they called it, because of a cleat issue is him deteriorating or, but it's one of those things, Lawrence, where, you know, you've covered the NFL, you've covered this NFL team before, and granted it was all different people running it at the time, but it's one of those things where you hear about a little injury, oh, and it's not an issue. And then a month later, somebody hasn't played and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember when that first came up and it was, he had a rash from, you know, his swim trunks or something. And next thing you know, the guy might be on IR. I don't think that's the case here.
I think you just kind of mixed up the two teams that you covered. That sounded like Mary and Hosa at the end.
Well, I mean, how many years ago was it that Tariq Cohen was day to day and then he hasn't played in 3 years?
Yep.
No, so you're right. You never know. And totally different administration, totally different coaching staff. You just never know with NFL teams how secretive they're being. I right now am not worried about Keenan Allen's availability for week one or the season at large. But things change. You find things out. Things change. Who knows?
I'm just enjoying all the texters who are sending in names of their favorite 80s vintage porn mags.
All right, that's enough. Jason Leisure.
This guy's Mike. My goodness, man.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I would so much rather do backup offensive line talk than what you're trying to turn the show into.
That's what he does all the time. You just can't let a good thing just be. You just got to drive it into the ground.
Well, just before I go,
you know, the theory of 17. I just keep going.
Modern man, high society.
All right, that's enough.
Before I sign off, you know, like, sorry, Mom and Dad, and really everyone else listening. Sorry,
that's
sorry for Dan. Sorry about the Dan problem. Apologize for the mess. We're working on it.
We all are.
I never had a copy of Beaver Hunt.
All right. Jason Leisure, we'll talk to you soon.
Will we?
I don't know. That's a good point.
It's probably up to me,
not
too, right?
Yes, you have agency in this.
Sheesh.
That's Jason Leisure. He's a good man and devout Christian. Just couldn't let the... Like we got the desired effect, and you just couldn't.
There's some I've never heard of.
Ray, when I leave, everyone will know. No one will be surprised. No one will be surprised. They'll be like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense that Lawrence left. And Dan will still be giggling about this.
I think my cousin had one.
Is that one of the blacks?
Yeah, it was actually. I think so. I've already got a copy of this one. I don't know much is left of it. Oh, yeah.
Hey!
I don't think I can say that one. No, I definitely can't. Okay, where were we? What was next? Oh, I have a White Sox thought. It's White Sox and rock and roll.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Next.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In Odyssey Station, Odyssey Station, Odyssey Station.
The lights are on, and there aren't a lot of people here. I just did a quick count of people I can see, and I got to about 140, and that's about it.
That's Rangers Radio about the crowd, quote-unquote crowd, at Guaranteed Rate Field. And here's the thing. If you're really punk rock, you're going to every game now. Like, I'm calling bottom on fan stock. I'm calling bottom. I'm not
okay, so now's the buy-in portion of White Sox fandom? Dan, I'm kind of with you. Like, this is one of those things where, you know, I got invited. I had a good group of friends invite me out to the Cubs game. I didn't want to go. But I went, I had a great time. I got to see a lot of people over there. But I think that you're right. This is my favorite type of baseball when your team's out of it anyway.
But this is extreme.
You kind of get the ballpark to yourself.
But this is extreme. And this, I mean, if you remember when the Blackhawks fans and the punk rock Blackhawks fans.
The 07, 08 Blackhawks.
What are these people doing here? Who are you? Who are you? You're not a real fan. You're not a real fan. If you want to be a total gatekeeping type of punk rock fan. Now, I don't do that. I'm not saying that I ascribe to this, but I'm saying if you aspire to that, you got to go now.
If you want to have your street cred White Sox fan who was there at the bottom,
like,
you should be out at the ballpark.
And
right
I know
now.
You and Layla are tight with some of the 108 crew and all that. I don't even know who's still there and whether or not they want to be away from their lives and families as they've gotten older. But like, if you really have the chance, if you have the opportunity, it's basically free. You can get a ticket for nothing.
You could treat yourself and get some scout seats if you want.
You could get scout seats. You could go sit there and free food and all that. Like, it's and you're but you
well, I mean, the food's not free. Like, you're paying it with your ticket.
Yeah, but the price of the ticket.
Right.
See, the level of fan cred, if this stuff matters to you at all, if you really want to be punk rock, you can say, I was there in 24. I was there in September of 2024. I went to every game.
Well, I don't know if you need to do that to yourself because that seems like torture.
But winning brings up, or I should say, losing brings opportunity, and all time losing brings all time opportunity.
Yeah, but there are White Sox games during Bears games. Like, you're not doing that.
No. Be reasonable. But the fan stock is at a bottom. This is when you hoard it. This is like during the financial crisis when you could buy a house in Detroit for a dollar.
Unfortunately, there really isn't a lot of good on the home schedule in September. It might not matter. I mean, Cleveland is in for three, but Oakland and the Angels are the other home stands in September. So there's that. But you're right. Like, I'm a big proponent. I say this every single year. And with this White Sox team, it happens earlier than ever. I always think that fans should say goodbye to their team because baseball is one of those. It's such a great companion that you're going to be like, oh, man, I miss ball. You know, like, I miss
it's
baseball.
It's there for you. Major League Baseball, ostensible, well, Major League Baseball.
With the other team more so than
nominal
with the White Sox.
And occasionally they say, ball's in, down two. Oh, off your face. Do you see that?
Yeah, I felt bad. And it's one of those things where it wasn't luckily.
Could have killed him.
Luckily, yeah. It was a toss, and it wasn't a throw down the second.
Right, it's
because occasionally a catcher,
the last warm up pitch, start the around the horn throwdown.
But occasionally a catcher will just be like, you know what, I haven't thrown in a little bit. Let me whip it down there to second base.
Did they know? Did you warn anybody, or were you just chuck it?
Coming down?
Right,
you know that's usually the warning, and that was luckily a toss. It was a pinpoint perfect toss to get hit in the face with a ball. But yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think that the fans should pick like one of those midweek games where it's not in anywhere messing with your college team or your pro team. You go out, you go enjoy, like, because we all know, we've talked about it for years. The experience inside that ballpark is really great.
Go wear it. Go add a little scar tissue. And while you're at it, I don't know, have awesome food.
Have awesome food and have a walk around.
And your own bathroom.
Yeah.
You have your own bathroom.
Pick one.
You could set up court in there. You could get a card table and probably sit.
And I will say from my experience.
Bring your food into the big house with you.
People there, the folks that have been working at the ballpark, they are legitimately happy to see you. Like, they know what this season has been like. But just walking the concourse a couple weeks ago, they're doing their best. Like, everything around the White Sox, except for the baseball,
yeah, 630
is doing
says,
their best.
Says Miller Lite landing preferred seats. Watch the Bears game while sitting at the Sox game.
No, thank you.
I couldn't do that because I'd get kicked out.
That sounds crazy.
I get kicked
to me.
Out for screaming. But let me. I
Don't
make
do that.
One more quick point before we need to get to a break. When I say losing gives you the chance, losing gives you a chance to do things. Losing gives you a chance to see different perspectives. Losing gives you a chance to breathe. I was bothered by when I heard the replays of the Andrew Vaughn, what would have been a game-winning 3-run home run that was caught at the fence. And I was a little bothered by the home TV call.
Why?
I'll tell you. Let's hear it first. I'll tell you why.
One ball, two strikes. Ball lifts it high in the air. Deep to left. Going back. Oh, he made the catch. Goodness. Jankowski just inserted for defensive purposes. Just robs Vaughn of a home run. That would have been ball game. You have got to be kidding me. What a catch by Jankowski. He goes up way over the wall. He angles his body so he can get more extension. This is about as good a robbery as we've seen.
Is Nicky Lopez able to get back to second? They tried to double him off.
It's game over if he doesn't make this play. What an effort by Jankowski.
That is one of the best plays you will see this year.
There's one baseball fan in that booth at the moment. There's one. Because I don't care what team you're working for. I don't care who's signing your checks. Any major league broadcaster has to get excited to see that. Even it's not, oh, he caught it. I don't know anybody who isn't going to say, wow, that's too bad. But if your first instinct isn't, oh, my God, what a catch. Like, that's an all-timer. That is up there with Gary Matthews Jr., Ivan Calderon, Devon White, Kirby Puckett, all these other guys that you've seen do that. I don't know that I've ever seen one quite aesthetically that perfect. And if you
with the full extension over the wall
and to seal a game. So thank you to Stoney for understanding how great that was. And it's okay. It's okay, especially you're calling games for the worst team of all time. So here's a chance to be above that. Here's a chance to rather than being, he caught it. Yeah, you're going to lose. You lose every game. Who cares? Celebrate an unbelievable major league play that might be the catch of the year in Major League Baseball.
I think that Schifrin got to it.
He got to it after Stoney set the example.
You know,
hey.
I think he got to it. I do think that there was probably a little bit of shock on his part. But, yeah, I think that he's usually – he wants to make sure that he is representing the White Sox. That's been my review of him as the play-by-play guy, is that he wants to make sure that everyone knows that he's the White Sox guy. And that's okay. But you're right. Like, those are those moments where you go, man, that would be that's one where you don't want to hear an announcer be silent because it was such an incredible play. But I understand being shocked into the reality of thinking that you're calling something that's going to win the game for your team and then it be taken away in that moment.
But that's the job. And I disagree with the texter who says Hawk Harrelson would have been dead silent and angry. That no, he wouldn't have. No, he wouldn't have. If it's an umpire, he would get that.
There are times when Hawk would, I agree with the texter. There were times when Hawk would, if something really great happened for the other team, he would just go stone cold silent.
It was usually the other team with a walk-off hit or something like that, but I always thought that Hawk did a pretty good job of objectively appreciating a great play.
I feel like this is one of those times where you're grading Schifrin way too hard.
Okay.
I think that this is, I could understand him being like the processing of it. Like, where he's like, I'm getting ready to make this incredible home run call. Now, it's been snatched away. And it's okay to
but
like...
it's not about you. It's about the play.
But I'm trying to get into his mind a little bit. His lens is the White Sox. Like, look at this, what this is for the White Sox. So, I think that there was just kind of this momentary, like, oh, he caught it. Like, there's a dip in...
You're the play-by-play guy, though.
I agree with you.
I used to bug me about Farmio, too. And I used to say this about Farmio, where somebody would... If I'm... Especially when you're listening on the radio.
On the radio, it's very necessary
and he would say something like, emote and call it. Right, and he would say something like, well, and he makes a nice stop going to his left and throws him out, and that's the game. And then I would see it later and be like, holy crap, man! I mean, I know that it beat the White Sox, but... but give me a hang a star on that one or something.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to sit in the baseball of it and just be like, man, that was cool. And I think for the most part, I think Schifrin has gotten better at that as the season has gone on. I think that his kind of omni White Sox thing has softened as he's seen, man, this team is not really good, and we're seeing great stuff all the way around. I think he's gotten better at it, but I'm fine with giving him a mulligan on that. I think that he was just shocked, and then he kind of, that's what a good partner does. Stoney kind of got him back in and was like, dude, yep, that was an incredible catch. And then I think his energy then matched it. It took a couple of seconds for him to be like, oh man, and then get back into how great of a catch it was.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. This is the Bernstein and Holmes Show. Tomorrow, Lawrence is going to be out. Layla Rahimi is going to be in. When we come back, I don't know if you saw this, the latest Nick Saban commercial. It's funny.
I've seen every Nick Saban commercial.
I know you.
Roll Tide.
It's funny.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
To live by from the great Nick Saban, who brings us all his insight from SEC Media Days. Coach, we appreciate you so much for joining us here.
All right, thank you. You want me to say go Dogs or what?
Can you? Too late, we got it.
No.
Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Callers 6 and 7 of The Score's contest line, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to our live show at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville from 10 to 2 on Tuesday, September 17th, where we'll be joined on site by Cubs pitcher Justin Steele. It's all brought to you by Bosch Power Tools and Phillips Chevrolet. So, Studs, tell us exactly what we're going to be hearing here of Nick Saban.
This is a new commercial came out this week that he is, the advertiser is Vrbo. Yeah, V-R-B-O. So that's the setup here.
Check-in time is 3.
It's 2:55.
I know.
Is this what he's doing now?
Have a seat. As your host, I have some rules. First, no showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa. There's no streaming, only cable television.
Any games for the kids?
No games, no fun. The kids aren't even allowed in the house. That's the rule. There's a great barbecue outside, but don't touch that. How'd you guys get inside? 2 flush maximum per bathroom visit.
Yes, Coach.
You guys got about 10 minutes because this is daddy time in the tub.
It's good. See, my other takeaway, though, if you look at how it's edited and how it's shot.
You care about this. No one else does.
I just think it's, you talk about being a big shooter. He shot his scenes by himself. Those other actors...
We don't know that. You're assuming that.
It's like the Affleck commercial.
I know.
You never see his face and their faces together. It's always something from behind that's supposed to be him. That means he's like, yeah, I'll do it and you'll pay me, but I'm not flying out there. You're going to have to do a set down here for me.
I also think Saban's pretty good at acting.
Not bad. I mean, he knows he's playing a... hyperbolized version of himself. Yeah. He better be good at that. So good. Once he does those little Debbies, has he done those yet? The oatmeal pies, whatever they
oatmeal
are?
Cream pies. Oatmeal, yes, cream pies. Yes, two every day.
I know, but
for breakfast.
How is he not advertising them yet?
It's a great question, because you talk about a perfect spokesperson outside of Will Ferrell.
Yeah, but how old is Saban? 75 years old, and he's been eating two of these for breakfast his whole life.
Yeah. He also like runs a bunch and stuff.
You don't have to say that, though. It's correlation, not causality. You can say, look how vibrant and healthy this man is as he heads to his elderly years, and this has been his breakfast his entire life.
Yeah.
Not saying it's the reason for it, but you don't, I mean, from an advertising perspective, you can just say, hey,
I don't see
you
why
draw your own conclusions.
I don't see why you wouldn't, but maybe they're not doling out the type of money that Affleck and Vrbo are.
I guess that. Who owns Little Debbie now? It's got to be ConAgra or some massive.
Maybe he owns it. I mean, seriously.
No, I'm sure Little Debbie is part of...
The McKee family owns Little Debbie through their company, McKee Foods.
Jason really? McKee?
So it's M-C-K-E-E. So no, McKee is I-E.
They are still a small company then.
See?
Wow, maybe they can't afford them.
We're going to talk with Spiegel on the afternoon show.
Idiot co-host today.
Yes, very much so. And we'll see if Spiegel can wrangle this guy next in The Score.
You're right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.